The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Earlier this morning, you might have heard the tánaiste, Micheál Martin, leader of Fianna Fáil. He was on News Talk Breakfast, and in his conversation with Shane Coleman, he criticised the judicial system here for being too slow. Take a listen.
Look at what happened in the immediate aftermath of the rioting in Britain. Some of the severest of rioting that we had witnessed. And Keir Starmer and the Labour Party, who you'd hardly think are, far-right hardliners, they had people in jail within a week. Our system was far slower in terms of dealing with events of that kind.
Nobody has been found guilty in relation to the Dublin riots, and we're now, what, 8-9 months after?
Yeah.
But
I think some people may have come forward for public order, but I take what you're saying there. But I think and it's not just the Dublin riots, there have been other events. And again, you just see people trotting up to the courts, they'll get bail, and they'll be told to come back in 2 months' time for the hearing. Justice is not just about law alone. And I know some commented on it, might comment about high principles of law. I mean, there was a time in Ireland when people sort of made a virtue out of getting people off on technicalities, for example, legal technicalities. Whereas I think justice must always be at the core of how we administer the law and how we make sure that victims in particular, Shane, because I think victims, and I've met people recently again, families whose loved ones have been murdered and killed
I don't want to get too bogged down this, but I just want to come back to the Dublin riots. Do you think the wheels of justice have been far too slow in relation to bringing those responsible for justice?
I certainly do, yeah.
So that's what he had to say about, well, the Dublin riots, but I guess it was an observation of the justice system across the board. And I don't think even the biggest defenders of the system would suggest it operates as quickly as it should or could. One person who knows all about this impact is Blanadh Raly. So Blanadh, people will remember, waived her anonymity earlier in the summer at the sentencing of her rapist, Johnny Moran. And Blanadh joins me now. And Blanadh, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. I remember the conversations that you had on this station and elsewhere at the time after you waived that anonymity. And one element stood out, and it resonated with what Micheál Martin was saying today, and it was just how long it took until we got to that trial of Johnny Moran. Remind us a little bit about that, Blanadh.
Yeah, so the trial took 5 years. Sorry, not the trial, but the wait time for the trial took 5 years to actually get it into the Central Criminal Court, and to get a trial underway took 5 years.
And if you go right back to the outset of that, I mean, what would you have thought at the time when you made the complaint and when investigation started, and indeed when he was charged? Did you have any idea it would take this long?
Yeah, no, probably naively. I had no sort of idea the concept of like how long these things take. So I made the complaint literally straight after the attack and kind of made my formal statement that week and everything, and he had been arrested straight away. So everything in the case was very straightforward, you know. Then we were waiting for forensics to come back, and then your file gets sent to the DPP, and they decide whether to press charges or not, or, you know, if there's sufficient evidence and all of that kind of thing. So my wait time from then until the trial date was about 3 years. So that was the longest time, was when all of this stuff was gathered and all of that, and the DPP had decided to press charges. Then that step of getting it actually into a courtroom was the longest. That took 3 years.
And what was that whole period like for you, with this hanging over you, knowing it was ahead?
Yeah, I suppose, like, it's awful because, one, you don't know what to expect. You kind of don't know what's ahead of you. You don't know really what you're in for. And so that fear and that sort of, you know, thing hanging over you is awful. And then you have no concept of when it's going to happen, like when they decide. And you're told the whole way through, don't get your hopes up, don't get your hopes up. you know, this could take this. We have no idea how long this will take. We've no idea, you know, and that's just what you're told. But in, you know, in the meantime, your life is totally on hold. Well, I know in my experience, my life is just totally on hold. You know, we might get a court date and decide, you know, that'll be fine. And then you'd be looking at holidays or something like that. And you think, oh, I can't go then. The trial is on then. And then you get to that date and the trial doesn't start then. And you're just set back into this cycle. But your life is totally on hold. And it feels that you're in the hands of somebody else. I very much felt the whole way through that I was the one who had done something wrong. I had done something wrong and I just kind of had to wait, you know.
And how did you cope with all of that? That waiting period, was it, did you try to put it out of your mind? Did you kind of continually engage with the process and what would happen? How did you approach it?
Yeah, so part of the way I kind of deal with things and stuff is by understanding it. So like I would have done a lot of reading of different trial stuff like that, a lot of reading of like the legal process, like kind of to anticipate what was going to happen next. And then you do try and forget about it, but that's very hard, because you're sort of in that stage of limbo. You can move on to a certain extent, but still have something massive, you know, hanging over you like a trial. So it's very hard to actually make an awful lot of progress because you're just in this state of, you know, when's it going to be? And it's so long. You never think when you make that complaint that this is going to be like 5 years of your 20s just gone, you know?
Yeah, five such important years as well. The other thing I guess you've got to deal with, and other victims, and maybe other victims have reached out to you since to talk about this, that you would have had to deal with, is that the accused, as it would have been at the time, would have been out on bail and is kind of innocent until proven guilty and kind of getting on with their life to a degree. Yeah. I mean, that must be awful.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, you know, because you are very much like, well, in my experience, I, you know, hid. I just didn't go into my local town. I was petrified of seeing him. And like, you know, when he saw me, what was he going to do? What was he going to say? Was he going to, you know, shout? And every time I tried to go into my local town, that was the fear I had. Or seeing, you know, somebody belonging to him or whatever. So I had that for 5 years of like hiding and that constant fear of seeing him. So, you know, you're also then put in a position of waiting 5 years with somebody who has now been found guilty of this. An awful lot of time to reoffend, you know, it put me in a very dangerous position as somebody who'd made a complaint against him. You know, this person isn't a law-abiding person. Give somebody an awful lot of opportunity to do whatever they want to do. And they are bailed, but like your bail conditions aren't necessarily very strict, you know. There's nothing stopping you both being in the same pub on a Friday night, or, you know, so it's an awful position to be put in for such a long time.
God, I can't be the only person thinking of that Louise O'Neill novel, listening to you describe all of this from a few years ago. There must be as well, I guess, once a conviction happens, it's more black and white for people. Like, he is a rapist and you are the victim. There's probably a period in the meantime where I guess whether it's happening or not, you tell me, you probably perceive it's happening. Oh God, is that person questioning now whether this really happened? Do they believe me? You know, what do they think? What do the people in my hometown think? You know, do they think he's the victim in all this?
Yeah. And you know, I suppose, in the meantime, then, you know, after conviction, so in the lead up to my trial, nobody really knew. Like, it wasn't common knowledge in my hometown. It was kept very quiet until he was convicted. And even at that stage, you know, I had experiences of going into my local town and people saying, oh, I heard such a thing, or I heard that's not what happened. It was such a thing, you know, and all of these things always grow legs and there's rumours and all of that. But that's a very hard thing to hear then. You know, you feel like somebody's talking about something that they actually have no idea about. But another side to that was after he was convicted, he wasn't taken into custody straight away. So even after it had been proven that what I had reported was true and what he had done, he was out for 2 months again in the same town. So it very much felt like we don't care. You know, it felt like the justice system saying, we don't care about you or how this affects your life. We don't have the time right now to deal with him. So he can go back again. Yeah, we have a conviction, but he can go back now to his life. He can work, you know, he can do whatever he wants for the next 2 months and then we'll deal with them. And again, you're just being met with this message. Nobody's saying it, but the overall feeling is the system doesn't really care about you. You don't matter in any of this.
Yeah. Yeah, and listen, that speaks to exactly, you know, what we're speaking about today, this idea that justice delayed is justice denied, and you know, nothing will change what happened in Galway that evening. But I assume, given everything you've just told me, like, what would have helped in the aftermath was a speedy justice system.
Yeah, a speedy justice system, something that, you know, is there to meet the needs. It's not good enough to make people wait 5 years and share the same town with somebody for 5 years who's done something so horrific. And I'm not the only person that's in that position. There's so many people for different crimes and different, you know, things that are equally as horrific. And it's just not good enough. And when I brought this to the people, you know, in charge, I spoke to Minister Helen McEntee, and I was told, you know, oh, well, we put on more judges, so that shouldn't be an issue. But it is an issue. It's obviously still an issue. And I think the whole system just fails to recognise victims at the centre of crimes. You know, it very much the message that people get when they report crimes and when they go through the justice system is, you don't matter. You're a witness.
Yeah, let me
ask. Not a victim, you're a witness.
Yeah, I was about to ask you about that. Was that your sense that once the complaint had been made and once the guards had kind of done their work gathering evidence, as it were, from you, that, you know, yeah, your only function was, you know, by the way, we'll tell you when there's a court date and you might have to give evidence, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Off
you
go.
You know, like I was given a court date, and I think it's important to know that, you know, for people going through these court cases, it is extremely traumatizing. And like, even down to when you make a complaint, you make a statement, and then you don't see that statement until the day before your trial and you're given it. So you're reading this information that is so detailed of this horrific thing that you now know what it has done to your life. You know the destruction it has caused and the cost of that crime. And you're reading really detailed statements. And then the next morning you get a call to say, oh, no, case isn't going to be heard. We don't have enough judges. Could be next year. It's probably going to be next year. We can't tell you if it's going to be early next year or late next year. Then you just hear.